Beloved brothers and sisters in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what is the Lord's Supper but a celebration of God's forgiveness of us and our sins? That's why it's a fine thing that at the end of the Lord's Supper form we read from Psalm 103, because that psalm too is just one long celebration of God's forgiveness of grace in Christ. Let's take a few moments to look at that. It begins with a general statement in verse 8. More correctly, verse 8, if you study it, is actually God's description of himself. For is it not a quotation from Exodus 34, verse 6? In Exodus 34, God is revealing himself to Moses. Up on Mount Sinai, the Lord comes down in the cloud and proclaims his own name. Moses is asked to see God, and God says, no, you can't do that. But what does God do? He proclaims his own name. He passes by Moses and he proclaims, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. David uses these words here then as a general description of who God is. And he begins to show how this is so very true. The Lord, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Verse 9, first of all, he says, he will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Think about it against the backdrop of humanity. Human beings so often want to keep their quarrels going. Among men, it's so that if they're not careful, family quarrels become family feuds, and they pass from generation to generation. People sometimes love to nurse their grievances with all their long memories and the grudges they never forget. There are fathers who are only too willing to remind their children of former sins. But with this father, says David, it's not true. He does not love to stand there with an accusing finger. He takes no pleasure in keeping the flames of his own anger going forever. He would rather deal with it, and he would rather have us deal with it. It's in fact the very motive behind the tree of the cross, the suffering of our Lord Jesus, because God doesn't want to stand sin and can't stand sin, and he will deal with it instead. Why does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 13 that love, Christian love, keeps no record of wrongs? Why does Paul say in Ephesians 4, we should not let the sun go down on our anger? Why? Because that's the kind of father we have. That's what the father prefers. And that's in the best interests of his children. Verse 10, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Didn't David, who writes this psalm, experience that firsthand? He committed adultery, didn't he? And murder. What does the Bible say about those who do such things? David rejoices in his own experience. He does not treat us as I deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Didn't Moses experience the same thing? In Exodus 34, he's actually going to the Lord a second time with tablets of stone. Why? Well, you know what happened to the first set. Moses, in a burst of anger, smashed them upon the rocks. But Moses, approaching the Lord, experiences already the Lord's gracious nature. He does not treat us as we deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. How the children of God need to be more like this Father. Not treating each other as they deserve, but acting in grace, graciously with each other. We are but the amazing recipients of the grace of God. Shall we not then be gracious with each other? Verses 11 and 12. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. How high are the heavens above the earth? Is it possible to calculate this distance? And how about the east from the west? With the world, the shape of a globe, we might be inclined to think that somewhere on the other side the two will meet. But when you go to the other side, people still speak of east as being different from west, so far from the west. The east and the west never meet, do they? The point of all this is, again, what a father we have! Instead of nursing his anger and harboring his grudges, he separates our sins from us and puts great distance between us and our sins. David gives extreme examples because that's the nature of God's love and forgiveness towards us. Why should we wallow in the past when God has so removed it? Why should we dredge it all up again when God has buried it? And why do we concentrate on someone else's past if God, the holy and just God, does not? Verses 13 and 14. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers we are dust. Earthly fathers often make mistakes with their children because they expect more of them than they should, and sometimes even more of them than they themselves have managed to accomplish. They sometimes fail to reckon with the fact that their strength or their mind or the character of their youth is not yet sufficiently developed, and so they make unrealistic expectations. It's a problem even when dealing with adolescents and teenagers. They may look big on the outside, even bigger than us, but inside they're not quite so big. But our Father doesn't make such mistakes with his children. It's amazing. This God is so amazingly great, and we are ever so frail, but this great God knows our frailty. He reckons with our weakness. He remembers we are dust. Do you reckon with that? We think we are something, modern man. But God reminds us of our origins, mere dust of the earth, and he treats us accordingly. And that's why, again, he sends his own Son. What we are unable to do, he has done in his Son. Our sins on him, our punishment on him. What a God he is. How the people who have such a God have reason to celebrate. Our sins gone, his love here and forever. Eat, drink, rejoice, and be glad. Celebrate today and every day. Let your life be a celebration of these wondrous facts. As the form says, for the sake of Christ, who so exceedingly loved us first, we shall now love one another and show this to one another, not just in words, but also in deeds. Amen.